Yesterday was the feast of Saint Anne, and it meant that in the old days of the church, this would be the time of the year when there would always be a novena in honor of Saint Anne. It was popularly believed that, although it was never said in the prayers on the novena, believed that an unmarried woman looking for a husband would have her wishes answered if she made a novena to Saint Anne with the proper prayers. And that's why there was the popular phrase that was dearly consecrated in the old church, "O good Saint Anne, get me a man." Now, nobody asked back then in the old days how it ever came about that the grandmother of Jesus ever got involved in trying to find husbands. And it was just as well that the question was really not pushed too hard, because it turned out that somehow Anne, the grandmother of Jesus, at least according to legend, became confused with Anna, A-N-A, the Celtic pagan goddess of brides. And so the novena to honor Saint Anne was really a direct, if somewhat illegitimate, descendant of the old prayers to the Celtic fertility goddess. Nevertheless, in both cases, Christian and pagan, it meant that women always did pray for something they wanted. They offered prayers of petition, which perhaps for some people today might appear to be a little bit out of fashion. But unfashionable or not, prayers of petition are still a very legitimate part of our Christian life today. And today we should strive to understand exactly what it is that prayers of petition do for us. The second half of the Our Father, as presented today in the shortened version by St. Luke, probably the original version, is obviously a prayer of petition. After first praising the name of God and expressing the hope that the world will straighten itself out according with his requirement, then we get down to the serious business of praying for what we need. We want our daily bread, and we want to be protected from the trials and tribulations that always beset our daily life. And so it is a prayer of petition and a prayer of praise. It's a prayer that Jesus taught us how to pray. One that could, of course, be interpreted in according to a spiritual fashion, so that we might say by daily bread we mean spiritual bread, or that we mean by being protected from the trials, we want to be protected from spiritual temptation. But they don't have to be interpreted spiritually. And they probably were not intended that way by the original intention of Jesus. Jesus intended that we pray to our Father in heaven with confidence for the physical food that we eat. And he also intended that we be protected from the physical harm that threatens our daily lives. In the sayings of Jesus that Luke collects as his annex to the Our Father, thereby illustrating the first part of the Our Father, Jesus is quite insistent upon what it is that we should pray for. We must pray to the Father in heaven that he will do for us all the things that we need to have done and the things that we need. Praying that we might find an appropriate spouse, as women once did in their novena to Saint Anne, and as I'm sure that women and men still do today, is really completely in line with the intentions of Jesus. But in this modern day, we ask, what is the effect of the prayer of petition? Does it change God's mind? Has he set up a complex set of contingencies where something will always happen if only we pray for it? Or are God's hands tied until he hears our petitions? Now, Jesus was very much aware that the Father in heaven knew everything and that he could do everything. Why is it necessary then for us to tell God what he already knows and to express needs of which God is already very much aware? These are questions that were not asked by generations of people just a few decades ago. It would not even have occurred to them to ask those questions. They knew by their faith that God knew everything. And yet, without even trying to resolve any kind of contradictions, these people simply would remind God of what he already knew. Their intuitive instinct and faith said that it is always a good thing to tell God what they needed. And they didn't worry at all that God already knew what it was that they needed. The instinct that they had is a good one. And that instinct still does lurk deep down in each one of us because God placed it there, even though sometimes modern people try to repress it. Sometimes modern people feel kind of sheepish about prayers of petition. Sometimes modern people think that they have no right to bother God about the minor requests that they really would like to ask about. Sometimes people today feel that their prayers of petition might be an expression of some kind of juvenile dependency, that they're acting like children. The fact is, then, when we do acknowledge our dependency, we're not being juvenile at all. That's when we begin to act as adults, when we do understand how dependent we are upon the Father in whom we live and move and have our being from moment to moment. It has been noted that Franklin Delano Roosevelt never became a truly great person until he caught polio. And only then did he learn how to be dependent. His illness literally forced him to crawl on his knees in dependency. The answer to the dilemma of the prayer of petition is relatively easy. The prayer petition is really a part of a love conversation. Two adult lovers always take great pleasure in sharing with one another their deep felt hopes, their fantasies, their expectations, their desires. It really does not matter that the other one already knows. It is still good to share one's needs and good for the other lover to be admitted into that sharing of the other's needs. To ask something of someone we love even if that lover already knows what we want, strengthens and reinforces the love between the two people. They learn how to speak to each other about very deep needs that otherwise would never surface. A prayer of petition, then, is nothing more than an exchange of deep, intimate love between us and God our Father. And it is that kind of prayer that makes us aware, perhaps for the first time, of the closeness and the intimacy that does exist between the Spirit of the Father, who dwells within us, and ourselves. That's how that spirit of intimacy grows. And that is the whole point of why Jesus began the prayer that we call the Our Father in the way that he does. It is only from that perspective that we can see why Jesus decided to use the word Abba, Father. Because that word explains everything that follows in the rest of the prayer. That word Abba expresses this extraordinary intimacy and closeness. The word Abba is something like calling God by the name Daddy, a word that Jesus is the first person in history to dare to use when praying to Yahweh, the word that the chosen people used in referring to God, if ever they would even dare to use a word, since they were forbidden. This form of address that many of the chosen people of Jesus' time would have been blasphemous had they used the word Abba or Father. Jesus not only used it of the Heavenly Father, but he invited us, his sisters and brothers, to do the same, thereby breaking all of the former ways of speaking to God of the Old Testament, introducing us people into a new relationship with God as a Father. A relationship that is the most intimate, most affectionate, and the closest. It is the word that can be translated as simply, Dear Daddy, or Dearest One. It shows the closeness, the intimacy of the Spirit of God with us. And that's why we ask, are we today too sophisticated to ask God as Father, as Daddy, for the things that we want? Do we think that we no longer have need to speak our petitions to the Father? Prayer is not so much a question of what we can get from God, but how my life can be changed and how I can go on dealing with life. Because now we are able to have a new kind of faith to open up our life to the living power of the living presence of the Spirit of the Father within us. The desire to remind the Father that he does call each of us by our name, that he does support each one of us by name, that he does love each one of us by name, day in and day out.